Look at, we have a special guest today, Rick.
I know it's awesome, isn't it? I love it.
I know, I know. I feel like I'm on Sesame Street. I'm like, hey, guess what? Next week, it's
Everyone.
Shiloh has a lot of kids, so he's okay with Sesame Street.
All good.
Okay, so this week we have Shiloh Cox coming to talk with us today, and we know, like, trust Shiloh. He's been our inspector that we refer to people for many, many years. And so I asked him to join us and go over some of who Shiloh is, what Shiloh's all about, and some information for people. If you're selling a house, the ways that you can avoid drama later with some minor fixes. And if you're buying a house, how you can avoid buying a house that's going to give you some surprise costs in the future that are going to cause you to have regret. Because there's one thing that I know for sure, people's attitudes about something wrong with the house are much better when they know it before they buy the house. So they, if they know
100%.
too, they're not so upset about it, but afterwards they'll be upset. So it's important to know about what we're going to talk about today with Shiloh. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about Shiloh. Shiloh is actually, he looks very young, but he's been a home
Thank you.
inspector longer than I've been a realtor, which is crazy. You've been a home inspector since 1996?
I got in the business in 1996, yes.
Wow. I mean, when you say the 90s now, it just sounds like so
Like a long time
Oh,
ago,
yes.
long ago. So that's 28 years. And Shiloh, it says here in your bio that you have performed over 11,000 home and commercial inspections for real estate sales, plus thousands more for insurance companies.
Absolutely. When you have all those years going, that's a lot of homes you've been inspecting over that time.
Yeah, like how many inspections a day would you say like a good inspection day is? Two, three? What is it?
Well, it's going to vary by the time of year because during the summertime, we have a lot more daylight hours to get out there and inspect. So sometimes three, maybe four will be a really busy day. During the winter time like this, it's hard to maybe get two in, sometimes three max, depending on size of home and travel distance.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's a lot of inspections, but
Yeah.
do people
Wow.
need you?
For
Okay, so
sure.
you said that your FYI Inspections, that's the name of your company, as in for your information, right, Charlo?
That's it, yeah.
And that it was a larger company. You had 3,000 to 4,000 inspections a year, but in 2010, you branched off and you are just your solo inspector.
Absolutely. When I started the business, I had about three other partners that started with me. And then how business goes, sometimes things work out and they don't. But as the American dream, we grew this company from just a couple thousand dollars up to a million dollar plus business. And then from then, things just kind of got a little bit too big for me, and I decided to go a different route. And now I work independently on my own. So I'm face to face, personal with every buyer and seller that I work with.
Yeah, I like that. You know, and it's just, you can always, I mean, being a home inspector is like such a big deal. You know, it's such a big responsibility. And it's nice to know that you can rely on yourself, you know what I mean, for gathering information and giving it out to people. All right, so we've got an intro. We know about Shiloh, and so we've got a couple of questions here. Rick and I are gonna
Yeah.
take turns asking questions. So, Shiloh, can you tell us, like, what is your job as a home inspector?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So there's can be a little bit of misconceptions about what a home inspection is, but the easiest way to summarize it is basically we're there to provide you with a snapshot to let you know the condition of the home as it stands as the time of that day and when you're buying it. It's Not a code inspection. I've heard you reference on your previous podcasts about codes coming up in inspections, but there's way too many cities and eras of buildings. But we might point out some items that are code reference that could present safety hazards that you might want to improve upon.
I like that. That's a good point because a house, it's like a carton of milk, it has a date on it. And after
A good way to put
the
it.
date, and the codes change. And so when you do a home inspection, sometimes it's like, well, this isn't up to code because it was up to code back in 1996, 1 million years ago, but now in 2025, not so much, that kind of thing. Okay, here's a good question. Is it important for the buyer to attend the inspection? Why or why?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I always recommend every buyer to be there when they can. Obviously, sometimes buyers can't make it, but the best reason behind it is it gives me a chance to explain to every home buyer to say, this is the problem. This is maybe how you can go about fixing it or repairing it. And honestly, the best thing is if I just tell you something's, or if you're just reading the report and it says something is leaking, that can look scary. You're in your mind as a home buyer, they're imagining Niagara Falls, just water flowing out everywhere. As to where, if you're there on site or if you have the report with photos, you might just see it's a little drip or a little leak. So sometimes the verbal or the written format might come across a little bit more than what actually the biggest problem is. I guess it would be then the buyer's imagination makes it out to be.
And plus,
Makes sense.
I always like when the buyer's there because then they can ask you like, where do I shut off power to this house? Or where's the water shut off? Or just important things they should know in case an emergency pops up.
Yeah, and I can walk them through some maintenance tips, show them where to change the HVAC filter, how the thermostat works if they have questions on that. They can definitely get a lot more information when they're there. If they're not able to make it, I always usually recommend that they wait until they receive the report. So again, that way they can review it, take a look at it, and then we can discuss the items by the line item on the report, and they can view the pictures. And then that way they can have a complete understanding of what's going on.
I like that. Okay. And how long does it typically take for an inspection? Let's say if the house is 2,000 square feet. And I guess that would change too if it had a crawl space versus a slab versus that sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely. You'll have a lot of different factors that's going to take the time of an average 2,000 square foot single family residence. As you referenced, the size of the crawl space, is there one, the type of roof, the type of construction, even the age of construction. But the biggest part that takes, I guess you can say that determines the amount of time that it takes to do the inspection is going to be how well the house was maintained and how much it's been upgraded, because it'll save a little bit of time for me on site if I have to write, but I would usually say about 2 to 3 hours is going to be the average in that range.
That sounds about right. Okay. Here's the myth part of this question. Is it a myth or is it fact that you advise a buyer whether they should buy a house or not? Is that part of your role?
Oh, I probably have been asked that question so many times over the years, and there's no way I could tell that to any particular buyer because there's a lot of circumstances I'm not even privy to with the buyer as to what's important to them. I can let them know what the important things of the house that I found, but ultimately, it's up to the buyer to decide if this is the right house and purchase for them. Every buyer's situation is going to be different coming into a house. And that I like to think that I'm part of that process to help them make a smart, informed decision.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you never know. People have different tolerances for different things, right? And different pocketbooks. Maybe they have 50 grand laying around and put into the house right away, and maybe they absolutely do not. So you're right. There's a lot of personal circumstances. All right,
Exactly.
Rick.
Or sometimes, I might find a lot of problems with electrical that's wrong in the house. And to some people, that's a big deal. But to one buyer, their cousin could be an electrician or their best friend or something. So it's not that big of a deal. So, yep, every situation will be different for the buyer.
All right, Rick, you're up for the next
That's good stuff. That's
section
awesome.
of questions.
Thank you, Charlotte. It's great to see you on the call today. It's a lot of good
Yeah, thanks,
information for
Rick.
sure, man. I appreciate it, man. So,
Rick's
and
tired
you're
of just looking at me every Tuesday. He's like,
listen to
finally.
me go on about stuff, right?
Yeah.
So,
I'm
listen.
kidding.
So, what do you, in your opinion, Charlotte, what are the biggest red flags you see in things like the foundation, electrical, roof, and what are the big issues you see most often?
You'd be surprised, Rick, but there's probably only of the hundreds of homes that I inspect every year, there's probably only a handful of them that 4 or 5 a year that I can remember that actually have really big, serious, major red flags
Gotcha.
that, I can never tell anybody not to buy a house, but there are some times that I might be like, you definitely have to get this checked out by a professional. But yes, those areas that you hit, the foundation, the
Gotcha.
general structure, albeit it's pretty limited as to what we're required to do for a home
Sure.
inspection. When we do see something, it's usually the worst of the worst when we call it out, and we want to let buyers again give them an opportunity to have a chance for a professional to come in to take a look at that. Things like the roof, we want to make sure that the roof still has some usable life left on
Got
it.
it.
Home buyers are always probably the number one thing that they're concerned with is the roof. Obviously, water, a lot of horror stories. But the biggest thing for the home inspection part is, does the roof need to be replaced now? Does
Gotcha.
it need to be replaced in a few years or not? Or are you going to have some time left on this roof where it might not last 40 years, but you don't have to change it in the next 3 to 5 either?
That's good to know. That's good stuff. So I guess you mentioned the water a minute ago. I know for a lot of people, the water is always a big issue, right? Especially after this past week or so. So I guess, so what is the causes water issue that you typically would find?
So the biggest water issues generally deal in the area where nobody ever goes, underneath the house. There will be leaks that may go on for months or even years because nobody wants to crawl underneath the house. I mean, I don't even want to, but it's part of my job, so I have to. But
Yeah, right.
leaks can go undetected for many years underneath there. So repairing leaks is definitely one of the biggest things, and any type of water damage or contamination underneath there. Number
Sure.
two would be areas that are underground that aren't really visible, which would
Like a
be like
slab, right?
in the sewer, in the slab or in the sewer line.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes you may have problems and backups in the sewer line. Now, this is a little bit beyond the scope of a home inspection. There are some home inspectors like myself that do provide a sewer camera inspection when it's accessible to be able to get out there. But that can also be costly because what a lot of home buyers aren't aware is they're required for the sewer line that goes not only to their house, not only under their yard, not only under the sidewalk, but all the way under the street until where it connects to the city sewer line.
Wow.
And if you have a repair in your yard, hey, you can dig it up. It might be a couple $1,000s, but if it's underneath the area where the street is, then the city gets involved, and the price points on those can go from thousands to tens of thousands of dollars sometimes.
So if it's at the curb rather than your backyard, it's a whole different animal, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, that sounds kind of
Oh
crazy
my
when you think
goodness.
about it. Wow. Okay. Well, I guess the next question I have is, this is also, I think, a big topic. I see this a lot with home buyers, is how do you know how long the HVAC will last, the air conditioning, the heater, all that stuff? That's always a big issue, right? I mean, because if that goes out, that's an expensive repair.
Oh, yes, it can be. And again, it's another question I get asked a lot. And I like to think, with all of these years of experience and inspections I've done, I always tell everybody I like to think I'm a pretty good inspector, decent at least, but a bad fortune teller, unfortunately. So,
What
yeah,
happened to the evil?
absolutely. So, but I can usually let home buyers know what the average life expectancy of each appliance is, based not only on national average, but California average. I do try to keep up with that information. But take, for instance, my air conditioner at my house I'm currently living in is still working from 1986. So that is, yeah, coming up on 40
That
years
tank.
old. Yeah, and my water heater broke earlier this year and it was only 8 years old. But the
Crikey.
second benefit of getting that home inspection is me going there and documenting whether these things are working or not working. And what that does is that provides written and documented evidence to the buyer's home warranty plan, who really covers, you know, that's their the home warranty is going to be the one that covers these things in the future. And so I'm there, I'm showing, hey, it's working, the system has been maintained. And then if there is a problem 6 months from there, 8 months, 8 weeks, then the buyer does have proof that they took the system in working order. And
There
then
you go.
anything that's kind of older, the buyers can either decide we want to update this to have a more efficient unit, or they can plan ahead for the future and just knowing it might not last 20 or 30 more years. We may have to just start putting some savings away to plan ahead.
That's good stuff. So it sounds like almost to me, Shiloh, that having that inspection is almost like having an insurance policy, right?
It's definitely the starting point of it. So
Yeah, so that
it
way you
gets you
know what to
going.
expect. Yeah, what to fix, what not to fix, or how to not have a problem down the road, right?
Oh, it's all information that you use to make an informed decision for your home buying.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of informed decisions, so on our questionnaire today, I put a section in there about a pre-listing inspection. Now, in my almost 28 years, I have not run into more than maybe three pre-listing inspections. Shiloh, do you do a lot of pre-listing inspections, or what do you think about that?
Oh yeah, pre-listings are good and bad, and I don't market them or I don't really pursue them, but I do have some real estate agents that I do work with that do advise their buyer or their sellers to do that. The positive is it gets somebody in there that can find and locate any big major problems, so you're aware of it ahead of time, and it makes your transaction run so much more smoothly. There's no surprises that pop up on the buyer's end of the home inspection, and you know, it just makes things go a little bit more smoothly in the full transaction. The downside, I guess, or the negative part of it is it now becomes part of your required disclosure that you do have to provide this information over to every home buyer because now you're aware of everything that's into the house or that's wrong with the house that home inspector found versus just, you know, you as a seller putting down your own knowledge of on your seller disclosure statement.
It is a it's a it seems like it would be a good practice, but yeah, sometimes it's might bite you in the butt. But all right, we're gonna wrap it up with some true or false trivia. Rick, why don't you ask the first question?
Okay, well, true or false? Is the does the appraiser do the same job as a home inspector?
That one is definitely going to be a false there. Yep, the home inspector and the appraiser are looking, although there are some things that we look at that are the same, they're generally judging the condition of the house as far as its value as to where we're looking for problems that may that the home buyer could potentially have in the future that they need to be made aware of and disclose to them before the sale.
So I think I'd say you're right. I
Excellent.
think if I think probably the difference is your investigation is a lot more intense, a lot more detailed than an appraiser because all they can look at is what they can see by the eye. They don't dig or probe or get under the foundation or go anywhere beyond just what they can see.
That's pretty much, yeah. And they're looking for the most obvious of obvious things as to where we're going to take it a step or two
Gotcha.
more to the next level.
Perfect. Good
I
stuff.
like it. Shiloh, we hear a lot about energy consumption and how to, you know, save money on your energy bills. What do you have as a suggestion to make your home a little more energy efficient. Oh wait,
Oh.
it was supposed to be true or false. What percentage of residential energy consumption is lost due to leaky doors and windows?
Oh, it would probably have to be 10% or more on most homes. And when you're looking at energy conservation, it can come to a lot of different things. There's things that'll be listed out on the home inspection that will be gaps around doors and windows that may just need some simple weather stripping where drafts can come through and energy can become lost. There could also be things like rather than having the newer energy efficient dual pane windows where homes have single pane windows or older HVAC systems. Again, these aren't going to be required for the home inspection or for the home buyer to update, but having that information to know allows them to be able to make those improvements in the future and save a little bit of money and energy.
I like it. Rick, you're up for the next one.
Yeah, thank you. So, what is the most common safety item that you see that's missing in older homes with kitchens and bathrooms?
Kitchens and bathrooms definitely has to be what are called ground fault circuit interrupters or GFCIs. Those are those little outlets with the usually the red and black buttons that trip off when you're, well, not that I have hair left, but when you're blow drying your hair there. But yeah, those were not required in kitchens and bathrooms, I think, by the NEC about 1978, or I'm sorry, 1987.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of older homes where in the kitchens, they just won't be there. Now they're technically supposed to be added when somebody updates their kitchen, but most people don't. It's a very simple upgrade to make. It doesn't require any additional wiring, just a little bit of know-how of how to connect those wires to the GFCI.
That's interesting. So if I heard you right there, Shiloh, that what you said then, it was houses built prior to 1987 do not have GFCI outlets.
In the kitchen. Yeah,
In
that's
the kitchen.
correct.
Wow. I
In
didn't
the
know that.
kitchen. Yep. So it's probably
And that's
one
an
of the
old house
most
these days.
common things I
Wow.
make. Oh,
Okay.
yeah. And now they're required. And every year, it seems like they're required in more and more places. Now, like all garage walls outlets require them, all kitchen outlets are required to
For
have
code
them.
now, yeah.
Absolutely for code now, but again, for most safety, it's I think 1987 was within 6 feet of a sink, which is kind of that's what everybody references because that's the old knowledge of what everybody hears and that's what sticks and remembers. But we want them in the most places as possible. Again, it's no requirement
Yeah.
to update that for the
Yeah.
home sale, but it is a good idea.
So I guess my question on that's a good point, but I guess my because they in my mind at least 87 wasn't that long ago to me. But what is the purpose of a GFCI outlet? What does it really do?
Oh, so what a GFCI receptacle does is it's going to basically instantaneously trip off the power. If, say, you had a toaster on the countertop and the water leaked out from the dishwasher air gap
Oh,
and got
okay.
into there, it helps prevent shock or electrocution. It's generally a tenth of a second or less that a GFCI, when it detects a fault, will trip off. If you're relying on the circuit breaker, that can sometimes take 1 to 2 seconds for it to trip off. And that could be the difference between life and death for
Yeah,
some
no kidding,
people.
right? Wow. Okay, I didn't know that.
See, learn something new every day,
There we
Rick.
go.
All right. What is one thing that home inspectors cannot do?
Oh, one thing that home inspectors cannot do. Well, this is something that a lot of home buyers ask is we're not allowed to do any destruction or cause problems or move anything around the house. If we think that there's a leak in the ceiling, we don't have permission to cut a hole in the drywall to actually take a look at things. We can't move personal items or furniture out of the way. The best way to think of it is that the home buyer hired us to go into the house. We're like a guest. The seller didn't ask us to come, so we can't start dragging furniture across the floor and moving people's, possibly value vases out of the way. So, most of the time, with some experience, you kind of understand where the problems are, and you can kind of let somebody know there may be an issue behind something or not. But there's also the final walkthrough that a lot of home buyers have, where they'll be able to go through and have the house less furnished or not furnished at all, and they'll be able to get a better idea of the cosmetic findings of the house.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it. You know, when I have a listing and I'm preparing it for sale or advising the seller, you know, if we go in the garage and the garage is packed with stuff, I say, hey, bring everything kind of towards the middle so the home inspector can go around the perimeter at least. But even then, you know, you don't know what's underneath all the stuff in the garage if the floor's cracked and that sort of thing. So you just have to do your best to get prepared and make everything visible as a home seller.
Absolutely. And for the most part, there's really only in all those inspections that I've done, there's really only been one that I can remember that there was such an enormous amount of stuff that was hidden. I don't even know if it was, but that was kind of covered up. But basically, you know, once the buyer did the final walkthrough, they knew not only from my inspection report that the house was not in the same condition as when I inspected it. So I kind of went back, redocumented all the problems and damage and evidence that was covered maybe by rugs or furniture. But one out of 10,000 plus that I can remember, that's not a bad, you know, that's not a bad number right there.
Yeah,
So.
that's good. That's good advice. Well, thank you so much, Shiloh. We really appreciate your time. We know you're busy and it's Thanksgiving week, and we appreciate your expertise. And I'm going to post all of your information on this podcast in the links so that anyone that's because the area you serve is what are the areas that you serve?
All of Southern California. I've got clients all throughout. It's never will I go there. It's do I charge a travel fee to go there? But yeah, no, I've worked down from
Yeah,
San
there you go.
Diego all the way out to Blythe, up to
Wow.
Oxnard, Camarillo. I've had requests to go out of state before. Unfortunately, different states will have different licensing laws and stuff like that. But no, I've had people that have. You know, how much are you going to charge me to go to Bakersfield because I really want you to do the inspection?
All right, that's good to know.
Yep.
Well, perfect. Well, thank you, Shiloh. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family, and I'll see you at the next home inspection.
Oh, thank you very much, Megan and Rick, you as well.
Good to see you, Shiloh.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.